And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to say good morning and welcome to all that have come this morning by way of social media, those who perhaps are on our conference call. We're thankful that God has given us an avenue where we can reach out and we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with as many who can and will. Let me mention right up front that we're adding a different venue this morning for Sunday morning. We also have Facebook Live. So if there are others who have access to Facebook Live and you want to meet with us there through Facebook Live, we have Facebook Live. We also have our live stream. We have the conference call. So there are a number of opportunities for you to meet with us on this morning. Spread the word. On Facebook Live, of course, people are able to react and to share thoughts as we go along. I believe the psalmist said in the 122nd Psalm, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that is going to be a joyous time when we can once again come into the house of God. It will be a joyous time when we are able to assemble together again as a called out body of believers. And we're going to try for expediency's sake just to get right into the lesson and to share with you some thoughts we believe that are meaningful from God's word. We're appreciative to those brothers who have led us as we began in our opening prayer, the scripture reading, and the song service. But if you will, meet with us in the book of James, James chapter 1, and we will reread for emphasis' sake the verse of scripture that was read. And I'll be reading from the King James translation of the Bible. I kid around with people. I say I'll be reading from the real Bible, but that's just a joke. It is a translation, and it just happens to be one that I am more comfortable with. James chapter 1. So if you meet with us there, the Bible says in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I've entitled the lesson for this morning, Test Time. You heard the reading from one of the modern speech translations. And again, it's talking about the testing of our faith. And I want to suggest to you that right now, as members of the family of God, it's time for us to take our test. And the question is, how are we doing in our test? We've been preparing for our test for a number of years. How many hours have we spent in the assembly for worship? How many hours have we spent in Bible class? How many hours have we spent in discussion groups and talking about all of those things that as members of the family of God, we need to be prepared for? And James is letting us know that the trying of your faith, the testing of our faith, when we are in our test, that is for us to extend and to grow and to strengthen our patience waiting upon the great God of heaven. It's a difference between teaching and application. Did you know that? Makes a lot of difference when we start to apply God's word versus teaching and studying God's word. The Bible reminds us in Matthew's gospel, the 18th chapter, of just such an event. Jesus was teaching the disciples a whole time, and they started to learn that they had to conduct themselves differently, and they had to be mindful of applying the word, not just hearing it only. And in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the Bible says, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter was being generous, he thought, when he asked the Lord, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? Seven times. And Jesus came back and he told him that it was going to be more than seven times. He gave him seven times 70. And it's like, whoa, that is a lot of times to forgive my brother. It's a difference between teaching and application. And it's the application. It's the taking of the test that tells us where we are in our lives. And my question to all of us this morning is, where are we in the walk that we have with God? How are we doing during test time? In Luke, the 17th chapter, dealing with a similar subject, Jesus was teaching the apostles, and he was teaching them about how important it was to forgive our brothers, to forgive our sisters. You might not know this, but sometimes in the body of Christ, we have to learn how to forgive one another. Sometimes brothers and sisters, and especially in a stay-at-home situation where we are, I've heard this over and over again. People say people are getting on their last nerve. And my question always is, how do you know which nerve is the last nerve? But people are getting on their last nerve. And we have to learn how to be forgiving. How are you doing during your test? How are we doing in our test at home, in our relationship one with another, in the same household, in our communities where we are able to come together? It's test time. Jesus says in Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter, he says, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times turn again and say unto thee, I repent, he says, forgive him. That's the teaching. Now, Peter is thinking of the test, the application. And when he gets to verse number 5 of Luke 17 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we're going to need some help with this. How are you doing during test time? Do we need some help with our faith? Do we need some help with the application? Do we need some help to strengthen our walk with the Lord as we're going through and everybody is talking about the COVID virus and all of that? Certainly, this is a time of testing. How are we doing in our tests? As members of the family of God, we need to make sure that we're using these opportunities to gain understanding, to gain effectiveness in the use and the application of God's word in our lives. The Bible goes on in Luke, the 17th chapter and verse number 6. And the Lord shows us how we will come through on the other side when we've applied in these test time situations, when we've overcome, when we've been victorious. The Bible says, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and thou planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. Did you get that? That during these test times, when we're studying and we're learning all of those things, are great. But when we apply faith, well, wouldn't it be something to see sycamine trees just running all over the land, jumping off into the sea, showing that we have arrived and that we are purposeful and that we are able to apply faith even in these dire circumstances. That's when test time is the most important, is when things are what we would call pressurized. How are you faring during test time? How are you doing during test time? Our number of brothers and I, we used to go bowling on a regular basis. And there was bowling, and there were some that were excellent bowlers. And I'm just an average bowler most of the time, but I love it when brothers talk noise. And when people talk noise, then it seems to motivate me. I'm kind of like, I guess, the Reggie Miller of bowling. When you talk trash, then I rise to the occasion. But when we get there, that we have a saying. The brothers would say, pressure will bust a pipe. Have you heard that before? Pressure will bust a pipe? Well, it depends on whether or not that pipe has been tested. It depends on whether or not it has been structured and for how much pressure that it can take, how much pressure it can absorb. We know what it can do because it's been tested. My point here is that we're going through a testing. And God is showing us where we need to improve during these tests. Notice in Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse number 6. Because, brother, the test is upon us. The test is with us right now. How are you doing during test time? Philippians 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for, get this, nothing. Did you get that? Be careful for nothing. Don't you worry about anything. That's what it's talking about. When we are reading in the King James translation and it says, be careful, it says, don't you worry about a thing. If people were assembled together, this is where I would tell you to tell the people around you, don't you worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Be careful for nothing. How are you doing during test time? Are you worried? Are you concerned? Are we worried about all of the cares that are going on in the land? Are we using this time to grow closer in our walk with God? Walking hand in hand, trusting God. Be careful for nothing, but what do we do? He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. We can talk to God during test time. Continue to ask God. But listen, to remember to thank God for what he's already done. Are you grateful? Are you thankful for the blessings that God has already given us? This is an amazing opportunity. How are you doing? Are we prepared for the test? Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. It doesn't mean that we don't take advantage of the information that is being shared to us by those who are in governmental authority. It doesn't mean that we don't try and do those things to protect ourselves. But my faith is not in the mayor of Houston. My faith is not in the governor of Texas. My faith is not in the president of the United States. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it's test time. They have their wisdom. They have their knowledge. They have their advice that they're sharing. But we're faring the way that we ought to fare when we hold on to the word of God. Be careful. Don't you worry about a thing. Brother, sister, listen. Don't you worry about anything. The scripture is our guide. The word of God. Now notice in 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Just go down a few verses. Notice this one. If you underline things in your Bible or highlight things if you're using one of the tech apps, you might want to highlight this one. It says in verse number 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Did you get that? Don't be surprised when the fiery trial that is going to try you comes. It is test time. It's like heating up that pipe in the oven when you're cooking it to make sure that it's able to handle the pressure. We've got to go through the fiery trial to test us. How are we doing as we go through the fiery trial? Not one time. I've never been there where they smelt the iron and they make the pipes and all this. But I can almost guarantee not one time has any piece of iron ever said, let me out of this fire. I've been worried about going through the fire. Why? It stands the test. And we are going through test time. Don't think it's strange that we're going through the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. This is not a strange thing. This is a promise from God that children of God will have trials, plural, of our faith. How are we doing during our test time? How are we doing during the trial? In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13, get this one. Instead of us worrying about anything, get this. It says, rejoice. Is that in your Bible? Are you reading along? It says, rejoice. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that are going to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But he says, rejoice. Be glad. Be joyful. Why? Why will we be glad that we're going through these things? Why will we be glad? How can I be joyful? There's sickness in the land. There's disparity in the land. There are inequalities in the health care treatments in the land. If you're in a minority community or a minority group of people, then there are disparities and you're suffering at a higher rate than other folks. How can we have joy? How can we be joyful? There is social strife in the land, financial hardship, folk are losing jobs. And these are all some of the things that are part of the fiery trial. And the Lord says, rejoice. Be joyful about it. Why? Notice 1 Peter 4:13, the latter part of it says, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. When we suffer, brother, listen. When we suffer, sister, listen. We are partakers of the suffering of Christ. That means that we're on the same team with Jesus. We're on the same team with the Holy Spirit. We're on the same team with God the Father. That ought to be something that causes joy in our lives. Because even when we're going through hardships, understanding that we have been counted to be partakers of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And listen, There's more in verse number 13, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13. And you don't want to miss this. Because when you go through these things, when we come out on the other end, there's a blessing from God. I've heard people, now let me just make a clarification here. I'm going to get this in a moment, but just look at this. I've heard people say, even in times like this, I am going through hell. And that's a little bit discombobulating to me. I don't believe that anybody here at any time has ever gone through hell. Because if you go through hell, you are not coming out, number one. But if you are thinking that you're going through hell, keep moving. Don't put up your feet and rest and get residence there. We are not going through hell. We may be going through some suffering, but it's the fire, it's the trial to strengthen us. And notice, he says on the other side of the suffering, he says, and be ye that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When you go through the test, when we go through the trials and we're tempered like iron or steel, when we become strong along the way, then we can give glory to God. Because the glory is now revealed in us that during test time, we passed the test. Amen. We were strong in the Lord. And we're going to have to learn how to rejoice. We've got to depend upon God and not on men. We've got to depend upon God and not on self. We've got to see by faith those things that the Lord is telling us. We have been found worthy to suffer, to partake in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We've got to bear our own cross. Now, I've had a discussion about this, and I continue to have discussions about this, because people say, well, that's my cross to bear. And people talk about, my husband and I, my wife and my children, my job and the I've got my cross to bear. That is not your cross. That is not a cross. Because every time you read about the cross means death. That's what the cross is. The cross is death. And we're to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. That means we die to self daily. In order to partake of the sufferings of Christ, we've got to get self out of the way. Die daily. Now, I'm going to give you an example here of what it means to literally bear a cross and how we can apply that figuratively in our lives. Now, in Matthew, the 27th chapter, we read this over and over again during our meditation during the week. In Matthew 27 and verse number 32, the Bible says, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. We're speaking of Simon of Cyrene in Matthew 27, 32. It's mentioned also in Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 21. Let me go ahead and get that one in Mark, the 15th chapter, in verse number 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, this is very important. Simon of Cyrene. A Cyrenian, that's going to be in northern Africa. That's going to be in Libya. So this Simon is from northern Africa of Libya. And some people get happy when they see that. Oh, yeah, there's a brother. There's a black man in the Bible. And then you look at his child. He's got one child named Alexander. He's got another named Rufus. They say, well, you know, when it's Rufus, you know that's a brother. I'm just, you know, listen. The thing about it was that when you read through the Bible, you're reading all about people of color. All of these are people of color in the Bible. But regardless of that, there's an application and a lesson, I think, that we can learn from Simon of Cyrene, who was compelled to bear the cross after Jesus, meaning not when Jesus, he was carrying the cross following Jesus. Jesus was too weak to bear the cross from being beaten and kept up all night. And Simon, they compelled to bear his cross. Now notice, in Romans, the 16th chapter, let's look at Rufus a little bit. Romans, the 16th chapter, in verse number 13. And we're going to come back to Simon in a moment here. But notice, Paul wrote to the Church of Christ in Rome. He says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother and mine. You see, Simon had taught his children the word of God, and they became notable in the body of Christ. Alexander and Rufus were known to the brotherhood, especially in Rome. And notice what Paul says. He says, and his mother and mine. Simon's wife had a special relationship also with the Apostle Paul, where he looked at her as though she were his own mother. Simon had done a wonderful job with his family. What are we doing with our families? Are we bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Are we strengthening? Are they able to see us stand in the test? Are we able to show them what it means to go through adversity and to come out on the other side? It will help our children. It will help our grandchildren if they can see us hold on to the word of God and to pass the test time that is before us. This was a wonderful, wonderful example of a brother. Now, in Acts the 13th chapter, I believe we see Simon again. In Acts the 13th chapter and verse number 1. Notice, the Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called, that word is Niger, y'all. Make sure you read it correctly. That word is Niger. Now, it says Simeon here, and it says Simon in the gospel. Well, the difference is Simeon is the Hebrew pronunciation of the name. Simon is the Greek name. So different if you're speaking Hebrew or Greek or calling the name in Hebrew or Greek, it's the same name, same person, it appears. And he was called Niger. That word Niger just means black. Now, you know, we do have that among us, at least when I was growing up in the hood. We call some brother, well, what's up, black? What's up, black? Hey, well, we call him black. And we had some that were so black, we call him blue black. Okay, that's a whole different thing. Yes, there are black people in the Bible. I don't know why people get all excited and everything when these folk coming around talking about the lost tribe of Israel, the black Africans that were in Africa and all of this. Listen, it's in the book. You're not teaching anything new. But all of us are subject to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must all mind the same rule. Don't let folk upset you or destroy you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 and 29, again, the one that is a Jew is not one who has the circumcision of the flesh. It's the circumcision of the mind. That is the circumcision of the heart. And they are born of the water, born of the spirit, baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. That's who a child of Israel is. That's who a child of Abraham is. Those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I'm having too much fun up here. Having a good time. You just listen in. I tell folk that I talk to myself. I preach to myself. It's cheap therapy, number one. And you can listen in if you want to. But hopefully there's something in here that will help you in your test. That will help you pass your test. Simon is bearing the cross. Became a prominent teacher, one of only five teachers that are mentioned in the Church of Christ in Antioch. And he was one of the men who raised his children to know God. His wife was a beautiful, lovely sister that Paul considered to be like his own mother. These are profiles in courage. When the test came, they passed the test. We saw him bearing the cross, following Jesus, but then we see him preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ in the Church of Christ in Antioch. What a powerful example. His sons obeyed the gospel and became prominent men in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Go through the test and rise up and be accountable and counted in the service of the great God of heaven. We've got to see the joy as we're going through the test. We won't go through the test. We got to see the joy on the other side, or we're not going to endure the test. I've got to check and make sure that LA Fitness is not still charging me for my monthly gym membership, Brother Leroy. I don't think they are, but, you know, I do miss going to the gym. And it's like, whoa, going to the gym. You go to the gym, what do? See, we got these weights and got all of this equipment in there, and you can go and you can lift weights, and it's a nice, strenuous, hard workout that you go through. Now, some people, I'm going to tell you, some people, I wonder why they go to the gym sometimes, because I see some folks, they make it more of a social occasion than it is for working out. They're going around talking to everybody. Look, I'm trying to get my workout in. Leave me alone, right? I'm focused on what I'm trying to do. Understand this. When you're going through the pressurized situation of working out, it's not joyful, but you go through it because the results are on the other side. You got to go through the test. Many folk don't have the discipline to go through the test, but it's a matter of choice. And what we have to learn in the kingdom of Jesus Christ right now, it's a matter of choice. I remember when I was a younger man, and of course, they canceled the draft the year that I was a senior in high school. I said, thank you, Lord. But in one respect, I really wanted to go to the military so I could go through the basic training. I thought I was in shape. I go like, I want to go through that training. I want to see because I think I can handle that. Yes. Folk were talking about how hard it was. But I wasn't going to sign up just to go through basic training. So I didn't do it. But brother, listen. Sister, listen. You got to have confidence and see the joy on the other side of going through the test in order to hang on and to go through the test. Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Get with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's get verse number 25. Now, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in the church at Corinth, they would have the Olympic Games, like we have the Olympic Games now every 4 years. China was trying not to have to cancel, but they had to cancel because of COVID-19. And then those Isthmian Games, they had Isthmian Games. The Isthmus Games, they were called such because of the Isthmus of Corinth, which would be offshore of Corinth. So they would have the Isthmian Games the year before the Olympics and the year after the Olympics. So people were always training. People were always preparing for the Olympic Games or the Isthmian Games that were coming up. And Paul picks a figure from this, from his workout, if you will, to help us as members of the church today, when we're going through our workout, we're going through our trials, we're going through our tests, we're finding the opportunity to test ourselves along the way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 25, get this, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Did you get that? Yes, sir. Everyone that is trying to master whatever that skill is that they're going through, the Bible says they are temperate in all things. Paul was looking at the great athletes of his day, and he recognized that these folks were disciplined. And as members of the Church of Christ, we're going through our test, and we must be disciplined as we go through the test. But he says they are disciplined in all things. When you are going through the test, when they are preparing for the test, when they're preparing for the example that they wanted to illustrate to the world, they are temperate in all things. It affected what and how and when they ate. Now, folks don't want to talk about that. We're sequestered at home and we're eating up everything. We're eating this, we're eating that, and we find the most stuff to eat, and we're eating without thinking, without consciousness. But when you're disciplined, when you're striving for mastery, it affects what you eat. What about sleep? Some fall, oh, I'm so worried, I can't go to sleep. And yeah, no. When you're mastering and becoming a master, you sleep because you recognize that the body needs to sleep. It affects what you drink. Amen. is it called Ciroc? What is that called? Is that the right name, Ciroc? You somebody, apparently, if you drink Ciroc. On Sundays, people have mimosas. Did you know what a mimosa is? That's orange juice with champagne in it. I think that's right. Some of y'all hit me back and let me know if that's correct. But when you're striving for mastery, it affects what you eat. It affects what you drink. It affects your sleep. You are disciplined in every aspect of your life when you're striving for mastery. Discipline. Why? They were doing it, the Bible goes on to tell us, for a corruptible crown. Notice, 1 Corinthians 9:25, he says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know what the crown was that they would receive? They would receive a cutting of a branch off of a laurel tree that was shaped around and woven together like a crown. And the victor who won in that particular Isthmian game or that Olympic event would get a laurel leaf crown placed upon his head. It's like standing up on the Olympic stand and you got the gold medal or the silver medal or the bronze medal hanging around your neck, and they play your national anthem and they are really ecstatic when they have won. But they only play the song, I believe, for those who are wearing gold medals. What Paul is saying is that these people are disciplining themselves. They're going through all of this because they want to have their opportunity to test themselves, and they want to show what they have mastered. And a person that is striving for the mastery disciplines him or herself in every aspect of their lives. My question, brother, my question, sister, how are you doing during test time? Are we disciplining ourselves? Are we striving for the mastery? Or is it showing us areas of our lives that we need to bring into conformity with the Word of God? It's a challenge that all of us must accept. But as I said, you got to see the joy on the other side in order to go through it. In order to see that, let's look at a couple of examples. We'll look at a few examples, and then I'm going to wind up this lesson. I think I have in the notes section here about three more verses of scripture, then I'll extend the invitation, and don't start counting because, yeah, there are other scriptures there for the invitation. Notice this, though. In James chapter 5, in verse number 10, James is going to call some examples for us to follow. When you look at the Olympics, who's your favorite Olympic athlete? Who's your favorite? I know people, I believe the young lady that lives in around somewhere in the Houston area, is it Simone Biles, the gymnast, and she's able to do those amazing feats. And I believe she's had a couple of tens or so when she's doing her performances, an amazing, outstanding athlete. And people go like, "Ooh, wow, look at that. Whoa, what an amazing thing." Now, I mean, I know I'm dating myself a little bit, but do you remember another Olympic athlete by the name of Carl Lewis? Do y'all remember Carl Lewis? At one time, he was a world record holder in the 100 meters. I got to tell you, he could run faster than me. You probably knew that already. But the amazing thing with Carl Lewis is that actually he changed his diet when he hit 30. And he stopped eating some of the stuff that he discovered was unhealthy for him. As a matter of fact, he became vegan or vegetarian at least. And it's an amazing thing. He started finding the things that were hurting him. Can I just tell you what Carl did, okay? He was disciplining himself. He found things that worked better for him. And he adhered to them. And he broke records at 30 that he couldn't do when he was 25. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing because let's learn to discipline ourselves. Let's do what we need to do to make things as well for us or as good for us as we can. It's important, brother. It's important, sister, that we discipline ourselves. He says here in James 5 and verse number 10, he says, take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know, when we have to give up something, we're suffering. Oh, Lord. Oh, I had to give this up. Oh, Lord, I have to get. No. Listen, we willingly sacrifice things in order that we might discipline ourselves because we want to be in the best condition possible during test time. Test yourself. He says, they suffered affliction and they were patient. That means that they weren't going around complaining about it. They were, oh, Lord, all of this. Yes, there's enough stuff out there to complain. But listen, let's talk to somebody that can do something about it. Pour out your complaint, if you will, to the Lord. Yes, insist that we get help from our elders and from our leadership where we can. But call upon the name of the Lord. And we have the prophets as our example. They suffered affliction. I want you to get this, though. In verse number 11 of James chapter 5, in verse number 11, the Bible says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You want to know who the happy people are? Those who hold on. Those who go through the trials. Those who go through the test. Those who discipline themselves. And they come out on the other side and they are happy according to the word of God. But certainly, in our examples, we can never forget Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. Notice the Bible. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. See, Jesus did not count it robbery to be equal with God. But he chose to come in human flesh, being made a little lower than the angels. He subordinated himself. He subjected himself. Listen, our elders are doing the best they can. I've made this announcement every time I've had an opportunity to speak. Support and encourage our elders. They get together. They talk about what they believe to be the best thing for us to follow. And we want them to be able to give a report to God with joy and not complain about how we act sometimes. Now, you, some of y'all are just perfect. You have no idea what I talk about. But I can tell you that if you work with people, that people can get on. What kind of nerve was that? Oh, yeah, your last nerve. So pray for our elders. But share with them the things that you're going through, the things that you see, the things that you need. We've asked, and there will be an announcement at the end, of course, about sending emails to the email addresses or leaving a voicemail on the church phone, the office phone. But pray for our elders that they might be guided by the wisdom of God and make decisions that are pleasing and right in his sight. Jesus was crowned with glory after he had gone through what he had to go through. Even though he laid down the glory that he had before the foundation of the world, but he was made in the form and likeness of a man, and therefore he yielded himself to be obedient to God, who, of course, the Father is asking us by that example also to be obedient and also to pay attention to and observe those things that those leaders who are over us have encouraged us to do. Last verse of scripture before the invitation, Hebrews 12 and verse number 11. The Bible says, now, no chastening, no discipline for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Now, it doesn't feel good when you're going through something. It's not joyous then. You know, I know when Brother Leroy would have the class on Saturdays for the exercise class across the street, and normally I would have a meeting of some sort that would coincide with one of the meetings that they would have over there when they were doing their workout. And I come in and I got on my my go-to-meeting stuff and they're over there working out. And I run over there and I pretend like I'm working out. I run over there and I jump up on their step and I'm doing my steps. Yeah, I'm doing the steps. And I'm telling them, come on, y'all pick it up. Y'all get with it and stuff like that. But I'm just doing it for a couple of seconds while they continue to go through their work. But I can tell you this. No chastening, no disciplining, no putting ourselves under a conformed structure to follow seems to be pleasant at the time that you're going through it. No chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous. I say we got to see the joy, but the joy is not in the doing of it. The joy is when we come out on the other side. Notice this. It says, but grievous is hard. If it was easy, anybody could do it. We're calling on the soldiers of the Lord. We're calling on the children of God to stand up and be counted. It doesn't seem joyous when you're going through it, but grievous, get this, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When we go through it, brother, when we go through it, sister, we come out on the other side with righteousness. And as members of the family of God, isn't that where we want to end up? Oh, you're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to go through some things. Again, a little bit of public service announcement. They're telling us that in the black and brown communities that we're suffering from the virus at a higher incidence than they are in the majority community. And I know people don't like to even hear or talk about racial things when you come into the church. I chose Simon of Niger especially because I think it is applicable. Because I'm going to tell you, no matter, as long as I have lived in this country, which is all my life, actually lived here in the country all my life, I have never, ever forgotten the group of people that I come from. I haven't forgotten that. I can't forget my race. And the more that we try to blend in and all of that, yes, that's fine. We are one race, the human race, yes. But there's a difference of things that are applied socially, economically, even medicinally in this country where we live. And we just got to be aware of that. So take the precautions to protect yourself. Follow the examples. I talk about test time, and there are some talking about opening up the country and opening up the states and all of that, opening up the cities. Listen, do your due diligence. Don't be moved by somebody's emotional remark that has no regard for whether you live or die. You follow those things that are being handed out. Do the best that you can, but we're still going to trust God. The blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. So if you're not in the Lord, brother, if you're not in the Lord, we know people are going to leave here. But listen, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you repent of sins and confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can be baptized in water for the remission of sins. That puts you on the same team with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and with the Father. We're on the same team, and we're going through the discipline. You can be counted worthy to partake in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And if you partake in those sufferings, and we come through on the other side, there's glory at the end. If you stand in need of prayer, please send a request to the email address that is listed in the bulletin, or call or text one of the elders. We are here to serve you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And we'll turn it over to the brothers for the balance of the service. God be with you.